Hello, welcome to another chapter of The Hidden History of Texas. In previous chapters, I've discussed life in Texas in the early 1830s. I've told you about some of the effects the Law of 1830 had on the early settlers. I covered the Anahuac disturbances, the Battle of Velasco, and the Turtle Bayou resolutions, in which, in one of the more ironic moments in Texas history, many Texans pledged their support to then-liberal Antonio López de Santa Anna. I also spoke about the conventions of 1832 and 1833, and how both conventions petitioned for the repeal of the Law of 1830. The resolutions drawn up by the Convention of 1832 were never delivered, and, hoping to avoid that result with the resolutions from the 1833 convention, due to his influence with the Mexican government, Stephen F. Austin was chosen to present the petitions of 1833 to the proper authorities in Mexico City. Upon his arrival in Mexico City on July 13, 1833, Austin found that Santa Anna had taken over the national government and was elected president. Now, curiously though, he left the government in the hands of Vice President Valentin Gomez Farias, a liberal federalist. While Austin received a kind and friendly reception, Gomez Farias was suspicious of Texan intentions in Mexico. Since he was aware that the second convention was illegal, Austin was still able to utilize his considerable diplomatic contacts to shepherd the petitions properly through the Mexican bureaucracy. It didn't matter, though, and the proposals languished as they slowly worked their way through Congress. There was some positive movement, though. Both Santa Anna and Congress repealed the immigration restrictions, held the tariff plea in abeyance, and urged the state government to grant Texas trial by jury. However, no action was taken on the petition for statehood, and this failure to secure separation from Coahuila and create a separate state, Austin penned a letter in October to the Ayuntamiento of San Antonio recommending separate statehood without the approval of the national government. Now, Austin began to return home. However, the letter ended up in the hands of the Mexican authorities, at which time Gomez Farias ordered Austin arrested and imprisoned in Mexico City from January 1834 to July 1835. Now, in his brief return to power in April of 1834, Santa Anna initially pledged his continued support of the liberal reforms passed by the federal Congress and state legislatures. However, Mexican authorities, powerful clerics, and wealthy haciendas remained suspicious of Texans' intentions. In response to these concerns, Juan Nepocino Almonte spent the summer surveying conditions in Texas and filed a detailed report of the province. He estimated that the non-Indian population was 21,000, with a growing number of Anglo-American colonists. The settlements, he said, were prospering, and the political situation in Texas showed no evidence of unrest or disloyalty. The recent reforms seemed to have reestablished calm in Texas. By the close of the year, few observers thought that Texas teetered on the edge of revolution. Then, in 1835, Santa Anna returned to power for the final time. A political opportunist and chameleon, he now aligned himself with powerful opponents of reform, suddenly repudiating liberalism and assuming absolute power. A new centralist government, Siete Leyes, replaced the Constitution of 1824. Elections for a new Congress were held, replacing liberal delegates with centralist supporters of the church and army. Further, Congress reduced local militias and dissolved state legislatures, which were replaced with military departments ruled by a governor appointed by the president. So the stage is finally set for the revolution to take place. There were many factors that came together to finally light the fuse. It is clear, economic factors did play a role in the Revolution. After all, many Anglos were attracted by cheap land and speculative opportunities so close to their homeland and pushed across the U.S.-Mexico border and populated the frontier province of Mexican Texas. When Mexico moved to control immigration and enforce its laws, the Texians rebelled in an effort to protect their agricultural and commercial gains. There was a clash of cultures between Anglos and Mexicans, reinforcing racial stereotypes of morally superior Anglo-Texan settlers, with democratic traditions triumphing over what many of them considered to be a despotic, degenerate Mexican race. Many of the new Texans willfully and openly violated the terms of their land grants, as well as ignored the customs and laws of the country that granted them citizenship. Inevitably, their unlawful actions would bring retributions from Mexico. Mexico also failed to establish a stable government, and the rise of the mercurial dictator Santa Anna, his turn away from liberal reform and towards centralism, alarmed Texians about the future loss of self-government and freedom. Slavery has also been cited as a contributing cause of the revolution due to slave owners' concerns with protecting their peculiar institution, and their economic well-being. Some historians believe there may have been a conspiracy by U.S. officials to seize Texas in order to annex the territory to the United States. Now, while President Andrew Jackson at the time certainly wanted Texas and encouraged Sam Houston's interest in the region, there's little scant evidence of a planned conspiracy. More recently, some historians view the revolt within a larger context of the Spanish borderlands and the Mexican frontier. A larger civil war was occurring in Mexico when citizens of other Mexican states became discontented with the dismantling of Mexico's federal republic and the loss of shared governance. Open rebellions, therefore, broke out in several states, including Texas. Now, in the final analysis, the Texas Revolution resulted from a complex set of preconditions and a spark that ignited them. That spark was Santa Anna's move towards centralism and dictatorship, as well as the impending military occupation of Texas. Okay, I'm going to stop here, because the next events I want to discuss took place in 1835, and in my opinion were major sparks in what was to come. The first is known as the Battle of Gonzales, which took place in late September of 1835, and then the Siege of Bear, which occurred from late October until December of 1835. Shots are being fired. So until then, if you want more information on Texas history, visit the Texas State Historical Association. I also have two audiobooks on the hidden history of Texas, one which deals with the 1500s to about 1820, and the other from the 1820s to the 1830s. You can find the books pretty much wherever you download or listen to audiobooks. Links to all of the stores are on my website, https://arctx.org. That's arctx.org. So until next time, please tell your friends about this program. I'd appreciate it. See you later, y'all. Peace.